spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our Eternal Light story today, All These Barren Hills, was written by Morton Wishengrad. Donald Buca is heard as Samuel Gottlieb, and Alexander Scorby is the narrator. We will observe the mighty holiness of this day. And in this season of the days of war, let us tell once again a dream of the prophet Jeremiah, that they who survive shall find grace in the wilderness. And the watchmen on Mount Ephraim shall call out to them, Arise ye and let us go up to Zion. This is a true history, based upon actual letters, upon diaries that were kept, upon documents which were gathered and preserved as a journal. The day the bugle blew was April 11, 1945. It took a little time to decide what should be done. Nearly a month. Then it took a little time to speak to the authorities. On June 3, 1945, 16 of them got into a truck. To the left and to the right, the rich landscape of Thüringen unrolled. They rode through Weimar, past the ruined houses and the broken streets. They rode for a long time, but they were patient. They could afford to be patient. In the town of Blankenheim, they stopped. The man who sat beside the driver got out and spoke to the Burgermeister.
We are taking possession of the township farm at Eggendorf.
No? By what, authority?
The American military government, Herr Burgermeister.
What documents do you have? I will need a certification.
These are the papers. They're in order, Herr Burgermeister.
Do you mind if I ask a question?
Not at all.
What will you be doing in Germany?
We shall be farmers.
I see. Another question, if you don't mind.
I don't mind, Herr Burgermeister.
Where do you come from?
Buchenwald.
You mean from there?
Yes.
May I know your name?
You may. It's Samuel Gottlieb.
They were 16 from Buchenwald, 16 who had survived the sword. But they had not come unto the mountains of Samaria to plant a vineyard. Neither were they adorned with tabrets and disposed to go forth in merry dances. It was enough to be able to walk and to be allowed a small dream. The township farm of Eggendorf is 2 kilometers from the Burgermeister's house in Blankenheim. They rode to the farm with their documents of temporary possession. They looked at it with their large eyes, and then slowly the man named Samuel Gottlieb enumerated their blessings.
All right. The houses are torn and broken. We're no better. The cattle are skinny. Why not? They won't be ashamed of us. Well, that's a joke. Isn't anybody going to laugh?
Samuel, I've had a look at the pile of manure out in the yard. For that alone, just to clean the yard, months of work.
Anybody else? Avram.
I didn't want to speak, but since you ask, everything is filthy. Everything needs repair. It would be different, Samuel, if we were people with skill. 8 years ago in Poland, I was a school teacher.
Avram, that's the whole point. We used to be tailors and clerks and intellectuals. Now we're going to become farmers. Isn't this what we argued about in Buchenwald? Avram, it was you who made the big speeches. Let us live together here in Germany in a communal settlement and prepare ourselves to be farmers so that we can go to Palestine and work on the land. That's what you said.
I haven't changed my mind. But this place is hopeless.
What do you think this place says about you? Look at all of us. What a collection of scarecrows we are. Well, what do you say?
It's better than the watchtowers and the barracks at Buchenwald. Let's get some sleep. Tomorrow morning we'll look around and see what's to be done.
Tomorrow they looked around, and they began to work. They began to build a farm settlement, modeled after the pioneer farm settlements of Eretz Yisrael. They gave themselves a name. A man named Samuel Gottlieb wrote an entry in his diary.
This is the farm settlement of Buchenwald. Kibbutz Buchenwald. Camp Buchenwald punished us, ruined us. But Kibbutz Buchenwald has united us. We've been cleansed of all our sickly, egotistic leanings. Now we must train ourselves to deserve to build our Kibbutz Buchenwald in Eretz Yisrael. There is so much work to do.
Look, how can you keep hammering nails when your right hand is just a mass of blisters?
You don't have to know the Talmud to answer. You use your left hand.
But what happens if both hands are full of blisters?
Then you shovel the manure.
Look, how much manure can a man shovel?
How much is there?
So much.
That's how much. What are you so pale about?
I never touched a horse in my life. Now I'm riding one.
Shh. Not so loud. You're all right so long as the horse doesn't know.
Now what's the matter? Why aren't you plowing?
The oxen have stopped.
Well, don't be bashful. Yell to them to start.
How do I yell?
Well, maybe they were Nazi oxen. Just yell Achtung.
You know, that's something I can't joke about. And I suppose it's stupid of me, but I just can't bring myself to shout commands at them in German. What's the Hebrew word for onward?
Kadima.
All right. Get up. Kadima.
It was a miracle. Not that they were able to work and had the strength for it, but that they were able to laugh. They plowed with oxen. One day after their arrival, they were already turning over the weed-choked earth of Eggendorf. It was cruel work for men who had subsisted for so many years on watery soup and potato parings. They trembled with fatigue. Under the hot sun, they shivered with weakness. But they forced themselves to turn over the ground, to sow it with barley and wheat.
Oh! Oh!
What's the matter of them?
My hands are bleeding. My back.
Oh, hey, change places with me.
Thanks, Meyer.
Better cover those blisters with something. Avram, what's wrong?
My, are we crazy?
What do you mean?
I mean, have we become lunatics? Look at all of us. What are we doing here? Working the Nazis' land.
It was a question uppermost in their minds. They were rebuilding a German farm, plowing German land. Why were they doing it? A man named Shlomo Lazarevich wrote the answer down in a letter he sent from Kibbutz Buchenwald to a friend in the former concentration camp of Buchenwald. A letter from a pioneer to a displaced person.
We must learn to love work itself and bring this love with us to Palestine. Even while we were still in Buchenwald, we volunteered to work in the hospital to save the few who were still alive. We washed the sick. We did not run away, even when the typhus epidemic spread. We suffered a great deal in the last 6 years. But we learned that only through love of labor can we find a lasting foundation for the future.
As if in answer to the letter, on June 6th, 5 more scarecrows arrived to build and to be rebuilt by Kibbutz Buchenwald. June the 9th was the Sabbath, and a man named Avram wrote in his diary that night,
"Our room was brightly lighted and filled with guests. One of them was a rabbi from the American army who had come to be with us for the Sabbath. We asked him to say a few words."
"I don't have any right to preach to you. It isn't why I came."
"You're a rabbi. It's the Sabbath."
I don't know what to say. I've never had a congregation like you."
"Say whatever you please. We'll listen."
"No. This time, I want my congregation to preach to me. I'm creating a precedent. I'm a rabbi who wants to listen."
No. "What can we tell you? Well, we work hard here. The first days, we didn't think it was possible to go on. It's a little easier now. I think we've proved to ourselves that we haven't been destroyed, that we are people with a will to continue. We thank you for the help you have brought us from the American Joint Distribution Committee, because you are helping us to reach a time and a place when we will be able to rely on ourselves."
"Samuel Gottlieb, that's a sermon for this Sabbath. Let me give you a text for it. They say that of those who went into the wilderness with Moses toward the land that had been promised to them, some saw only the difficulties. 'We cannot secure the land of Israel,' they said. But some were like you, like Joshua ben Nun. They relied on themselves. And they said with Joshua, 'Let us go up into the land.'"
Discovered in America in the days of Daniel Boone and the Cumberland Road, in the days of the Conestoga wagons, a pioneer is a skillful man, sufficient unto himself. You do not build a civilization in a wilderness with other men's hands. The hands must be your own, skilled hands, able to turn the earth, to hold it, to build a house, to hold it, to gather the grain from one's own field, to hold it. It requires skill to be a pioneer and courage. And so they who had come with courage taught one another skill.
"This is the machine which the Joint Distribution Committee sent to us yesterday. Now you stand here and watch how it works. Halima."
They stood round and watched the machine whir through a field of barley, cutting the grain and binding the sheaves. Then the machine broke down.
"Send for a mechanic to fix it."
"No, wait. Let me try."
"Have you ever repaired a machine like this?"
"No. Until yesterday, I never even saw one. But yesterday, I stood and watched the mechanic who brought it. A machine is only a machine no matter what it does. Somebody give me a screwdriver."
Naturally, he didn't fix it. It takes something more than presumption or boldness to repair a complicated mechanism. And so they had to call an expert. But the second time the machine broke down, an expert was no longer necessary. They had watched him, and as they themselves said...
After all, what is an expert? A man who is capable of learning from others.
Kadiva!
This was how to be a pioneer. A man with a scholar's face, but with newly calloused hands, laughed to himself.
I will tell Samuel Gottlieb how I learned about monkey wrenches and pliers from a man who used to teach the Talmud. That should be a proper entry for his journal.
As the days followed, there were many new entries in the journal of Kibbutz Buchenwald.
The Russian army will occupy Thuringen, so we shall leave Wegendorf, find a new place farther west. We are to be given a new farm near Fulda.
June 24th. We are in Geringshof near Fulda. It is even poorer than Eggendorf. There are no beds, no chairs, no tables. Still, we've started right to work.
July 2nd. New recruits come to us every day. Young men, young women, all intent on Eretz Yisrael. Some are religious, some are not religious. We are all shades of opinion. We have decided that no one will try to force his ideas upon his comrades. The main thing is that all of us have only one object at heart: to work for Palestine and the Jewish people.
Slowly they find themselves. Cheeks are burnt by the sun, hands are surer, eyes are more clear. On the Sabbath, the cattle and horses are in their stall. The men and women wash and put on fresh clothes. And Samuel Gottlieb of Kibbutz Buchenwald composes an entry for his diary.
Once there lived an artist in God's world, somewhere on the edge of the Baltic Sea. He looked out on the greenish water, studied the world and its beauty. He listened to the sounds around him, and all that his heart felt, he played on his fiddle. Then there was the war, and all vanished. They took him away forever. His wife, his music, his children were gone. All that remained was his last friend, his fiddle. And he plays upon it endlessly in his pain, month after month and year after year. And suddenly, all becomes quiet on God's earth. The burning fires are put out. Airplanes are quiet, motionless. The prison gates open for him. He sees the blue sky and the sun. He wants to run somewhere, to run to something. He seeks his beloved ones, his wife and his children. But he does not find them. He is all alone. And then he finds us. He is a member of our kibbutz, one of us. Equal with all, working equally with all, and playing on his fiddle. Like this. So heartfelt. So good.
A melody to play on a violin. A Rosh Hashanah hymn to sing in Kibbutz Buchenwald. Lo, as the potter shapes the clay, so are we in thy hand. A hymn of occupation, of the smith, the mason, the worker in the field. And the men and women regard the musician and the singer, gazing with large, staring eyes. They sit sunken in themselves, thinking of dead moments and wondering.
Far away, perhaps at Carmel or near the Sea of Galilee, there's a green settlement.
Will there be some joy for us there? Will there be warmth and closeness somewhere? Sometime?
Love reprobate, they all attain, say a fan, lie all a fan.
On August 5th, an American chaplain brings news.
Please be quiet. We're behaving like children. Please be quiet. Quiet, everyone. All right, Rabbi. We'll be quiet.
I have received word from Paris that 80 priority certificates for Palestine have been set aside for Kibbutz Buchenwald.
80 certificates?
You can expect the sale in a month or 6 weeks.
Well?
Rabbi, you're absolutely sure?
Yes.
It wouldn't be good if...
You will not be disappointed.
You're sure?
Yes. There are 80 certificates. More than you yourselves need.
We'll send a small committee to Bergen-Belsen and ask who among them will go with us as farmers to Eretz Yisrael.
80 certificates.
They stand around, and for once there is no quick movement to resume the tasks they've left abandoned. A hammer lies idle near a cabinet that's being repaired. The oxen stand stolidly in the field and wait for the return of the plowmen. The thin cows munch hay in their stalls, while the milk pails remain unfilled. There is silence. The men and women have died many times. They are those who have seen hell and survived. Now they can only listen to the sound of their own heartbeats. That evening, Samuel Gottlieb opens the diary he is keeping. He dips a pen in ink, and he writes a single sentence.
Perhaps the word joy, in the fullest meaning, is enough.
On August 8th, there is another entry.
Two girls have come to us from Bergen-Belsen.
Shalom, Haverim.
On August 11th, Samuel Gottlieb takes up his pen again.
Today was the Sabbath, and from a distance we heard a song. Then came some girls and boys, and we went out to meet them, crying, Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. And then we began to dance.
And so there is another entry in the journal.
The words of the song are, Who will build Galilee? And the answer is, God will build Galilee, and we will build Galilee.
The journal is crowded now with many entries. But the best entry is a smudge of soot that comes through the window of the railroad car. A man named Abraham Ahovain studies the faces of his comrades, and he begins to write in his diary.
Through the dark of Europe, a few half-broken little railway cars are carrying a few people toward Palestine. Each of them, years ago, sent his longing heart before him, sent his heart from behind electrified barbed wire. In the car, all have given themselves to the angel of sleep. Like good children, they are listening to the angel's tales. It is dark, but it gets lighter and lighter. My comrades get up. Come back into life again.
September 8th, 1945. The military transport Matroa cast anchor off the port of Haifa. September 8th. It was the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The first day of a new year and a new life. They thronged the deck in sight of the Holy Land, and they spoke an ageless prayer.
Grant lasting peace unto Israel and all mankind. In the book of life may we be inscribed before thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who makest peace.
A wind came up on Rosh Hashanah, a wind that blew down from the hill of Zion toward the sea. And one of the girl from Buchenwald, wrote of that moment.
Friend, is it possible that there on the horizon, still unclear, is it possible that I have seen a shape there of rolling hills and heights and valleys? Are these the contours of our land? I stand against the rail. My lips repeat over and over. Eretz. Eretz Yisrael. I know that the past will not leave me. And I am a little afraid. Once I wanted to believe in the world, in people, in ideals. And life has showed me that this could not be. Now the same wish begins to be reborn. Let me put away what I have lived through. Let me leave it here in the depths of the sea. Friends, I see the first house.
This is the season of the holy days. In America, and also in a farm settlement of Eretz Yisrael, known as Kibbutz Buchenwald. The settlement has grown to more than 100 men and women and children. And to them have come the people of the land of Israel, only to look upon them and to speak a word.
You come in a good time. We are only at the beginning. For all these barren hills must one day be covered with green.
Make a home better, the yard ha-yoweth made. Dir-tso-eth o-e-mar-e-chim, u-dir-tso-tso e-me-ka-te.
There are many hymns for the solemn festival of Rosh Hashanah. In Israel, in Kibbutz Buchenwald, they sing this hymn for themselves, and the words are proper for the day and for the season. The words are, Ki hine kachometh. As the potter shapes the clay and proves it in the fire, so we are proved by thee.
Eternal Light Drama today, All These Barren Hills, was written by Morton Wishengrad and is based upon two articles written by Meyer Levin entitled The Journal of Kibbutz Buchenwald, which appeared in the magazine Commentary. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Caton. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. Donald Bucher was featured as Samuel Gottlieb, and Alexander Scorby was the narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Edward King. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations.